whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Brought to you by Rock Antenna, Germany's number one rock radio station.
Great having you, Rebecca and Megan Lovell from Larkin Poe. So there are a lot of famous brothers out there in the rock world, like Angus and Malcolm Young from AC/DC or Noel and Liam Gallagher. The latter ones, Noel and Liam Gallagher, didn't really get along at some point anymore. And to be honest, how is it with you? Do you get on your nerves during touring or writing albums? How is it with you guys?
We actually do a pretty good job. We're really good friends, and we have been working together since we were kids. You know, I think that we are very well suited to working with one another. We feel like natural projectors together. But that being said, I mean, being in a sibling band can be challenging. There's a lot of sibling rivalry, which oftentimes can be used to the benefit of the band. I think it drives us both to be at the top of our game, but we have also put a lot of work into our relationship, working how we communicate. Like, communication is key. We spend a lot of time working with one another to try and feel like there's enough room in our relationship for both of us. And it's a labor of love. It is a lifelong commitment, and we're still here we are since 2010, going strong.
Nice. I hope you agree, Megan.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's hard to tell where I end and Rebecca begins. We haven't spent more than 3 weeks apart in our entire lives, so we're really close. We have a lot of twin energy. And yeah, I mean, I think it's an incredibly special relationship. Very grateful for it.
Nice. I find it fascinating. You really brought rock back to the roots. Your sound is so ambivalent, I find, and unique. It got this rhythm and blues sound. It got this Southern States vibe as well, for me as a German, if I might say so. And it sounds so extremely modern at the same time. So frankly, how do you do that? How do you combine all this stuff into one? How do you merge it?
I think it's, you know, we have a great love for the music of the area that we were born. You know, we're born in Tennessee and grew up. There's a lot of music, a lot of really incredible music that has come out of these states. And we've certainly been influenced by and have a great love for, you know, Southern rock and blues, country music, mountain music, and bluegrass. This is our lifeblood. That's the perspective from which we create from. It's just a great love of roots music, American roots music. And, you know, we are female fronted band, so we bring that perspective as well, which is a little bit different considering that this is a very male dominated field. I think that brings a certain touch of modern to the sound because it's just a different perspective and certainly a perspective that is good and relevant for this time.
You just won, and with this unique music, you just won. You won the Grammy Award for Best Contemporary Blues Album for Blood Harmony. Congratulations again. And now the expectation is high. Of course, your next album is coming up, Bloom. So what do you think? Will you get another Grammy for that one?
That's a great question. You know, we did not anticipate winning a Grammy for Blood Harmony. We were excited to go to the Grammys and we were really pleased that we had been nominated, but we didn't have any expectation or really even like a need to win the Grammy. So when we did win, I mean, we were just stoked. It just felt like gravy on top. And it was cool as well because we did win the Grammy while we were writing for Bloom. So it was just a good energetic boost for us while we were in the writing process. So it really has served us in a great way. And it is quite a wild experience to go out to Los Angeles and walk on the red carpet and do all of that rigmarole. But strictly speaking, you know, for Megan and myself, I think we have cultivated our band very much outside of the music industry at large here in the United States. And for us, you know, it is such an honor to win the Grammy. But the true prize for us is being able to tour extensively and have fans that believe in what we do. And for years and years, have bought tickets and come out and stood in front of the stage and sung their hearts out with us. So for us with Bloom, that's the real prize that we're hoping to win.
We create from the perspective that we need to just look inward and find something that we love. After we've created that, our job is done. Whatever the songs do after that is like, we're a little bit like disassociated from that in a healthy way, because then it takes some of the pressure off. Like, you don't, if people love it, great. If they don't love it, that's fine too, because that's not that's not really why we're creating it.
Nice to hear that it was a good motivation for the upcoming album. I've listened into some of the songs, for example, into If God Is a Woman, The Devil Is Too, it goes on in the lyrics. That's a nice catchphrase there. How did you come up with these lyrics?
You know, we have a penchant for writing songs.
Nice.
We're writing songs that sort of jokingly poke fun at the patriarchy. And I think even in 2025, you know, I think in popular culture, women can still occasionally get cast in very narrow lanes. I think it's tempting sometimes to have women cast in the roles of the savior, the angel of mercy, the fixer. And so I think to be able to write a song like She's a Self-Made Man or If God Is a Woman, Then the Devil Is Too, it's our work to hopefully continue to expand that lane in which women are able to exist and have full expression, because girls can be the bad guys too. You know, we're not always, you know, in the States, we say all things, you know, cinnamon spice and all things nice.
Yeah, equal in that perspective, is. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, women can be the antagonists. And so if God can be a woman, then by default, like, so can the devil.
Megan, you're playing lap steel. That's such a fascinating instrument to see and to hear for me. And I haven't seen it a lot at all. So for our listeners and viewers who don't know what it is, can you explain what it is and why did you start playing it at all?
The lap steel is not a commonly seen instrument. However, it is actually a commonly heard instrument. It's just that people may not be aware that that's what they're listening to. So it's very prevalent in rock and roll music in a lot of pads. Like Pink Floyd would use it for a lot of their slide parts. David Lindley plays the most iconic guitar solo on Running on Empty. That's a lap steel. I think that it should become more common. So come on, people, let's get on it. Let's bring lap steel to the public eye a little bit more. But it is an instrument that is played with a bar. It's a slide instrument. It's not a fretted instrument. So the strings are raised off the fretboard and you actually use a metal bar to play. And then it's picked with three fingers, kind of like a banjo, if people are like familiar with that. But yeah, it's an incredibly flexible and to me evocative instrument. It has a very vocal quality to it. That's what drew me to the slide. I'm not the lead singer. I love to sing harmony with Rebecca, but my way of singing truly is, I think, through the lap steel. That's my calling.
Yeah.
So that's what drew me to the instrument, and I really do hope that more people will pick up on it.
And how would you say did it evolve for you? So, for example, in comparison to the last album, how does it sound in comparison on Bloom? Did it change somehow? Did you have another approach in any perspective?
Yeah, no, I'm really drawn to guitar moments that are very singable. I like simple. I like singable. I like catchy melodies. I'm thinking about like Brian May from Queen, like his guitar parts are just as much a part of the melody of the song. It's an integral part of the song as the vocal. So that's what I'm drawn to. And I think there are a lot of very memorable, singable parts on Bloom. Even though that's always been a focus for me, I feel like it was coming more into I feel like it was coming more into focus for Bloom than anything. I hope people will look forward to those parts on the record.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in terms of genre, I think that we were a lot less rigid in the way that we approached Bloom than on records past as well. I think that there was this focus of attempting to exist in specifically the blues rock space on records past, where on Bloom, I think that we sort of released some of those preconceived ideas about what kind of a record we needed to make and instead just wrote from pure inspiration. And that was a really unique experience that I think was fueled by a commitment that Megan and myself made to write every song together from the ground up. And so that did create these moments where Megan's beautiful melodic energy was allowed to come to the fore at long last. And we have some really beautiful ballads on this record that I think we never would have dreamed of writing or releasing in the past. And it feels great to have a home for the many different angles and colors and shades of our musical interests.
Yeah, I really just wanted to say that as well. For I mean, I just mentioned If God Is a Woman, and in comparison, Mockingbird, and you just mentioned Catchy, Megan, and I really want to say that's such a catchy guitar and lap steel riff, if that's the correct term for that. And I wonder, how does a riff or songwriting work for you two? Do you both come up with ideas concerning that? Is it somehow split into two parts, or is it like melting into each other? How does this come apart?
The beauty of the writing process is it's never the same from song to song. It is always different. What was different this go around, we were much more collaborative from the ground up on the writing. Meaning in records past, a lot of times there would be a seed that was started before we would come together to write. Or maybe the bulk of the song was written and then we would collaborate on part of it. We always struggled to come together and start from nothing. And for whatever reason, we were able to put something aside, whatever was challenging us, we were able to put that aside and write together as sisters from the ground up, like sitting down with nothing and then coming out of the session with a full song, it felt like a gift this go around. And I think that you hear a lot more of each of us inside the songs. But even that was different from song to song. You know, a lot of times Rebecca takes over the lyric writing. Like, we'll come up with the ideas and we'll definitely be there working on it. But because she's the lead singer, it's like, you know, she has to feel right singing the lyrics. So the final say sits with her.
Okay. I see. And does it all, I mean, it's different for every band. Like, do you sometimes come up with a riff or a melody first and then with the lyrics? Or is it, I mean, you just said it, it's always different. Or is it sometimes that you start with a melody, then you come up with, let's say, a line of a lyric, then you are like, okay, that, now it's, you got something in mind and the melody evolves into something else because the topic maybe changes just slightly. Can you describe it?
You're describing it perfectly. Okay. It's sort of like a game of hide and seek, you know? You have to have faith that there's something hiding and you have to just continue to look for it. And that is what I think makes songwriting so fun and scary at the same time, because you do have to have a lot of faith that there's something, that you're going to be able to bring something into the material world. Which sometimes it can feel like, sometimes you have writing and you sit down and you just can't come up with anything. But with this album, I think that we did approach the writing process with a lot of optimism. And that really paid off, because even on the days where it was hard, I mean, there were some writing sessions where I was like, I'm in an emotional wreck, like crying all over the place. And I think that actually really served, because we were able to bring real emotion to these songs, and these songs are very meaningful to us. And hopefully people can feel our hearts in these songs, and that will in turn, I think, hopefully inspire people to bring their hearts to the live show and let us all connect together.
A lot of these songs just started from conversations that we were having. You know, we would come together in the morning and sit and have a cup of coffee and talk and be like, what are we thinking about? What's going on in our lives? And a lot of times you'll come to a moment where you're realizing you're saying something that could go into a song. And at that point, we would go down and we would start playing. And a lot of the music comes together like first, and then the vocals, you know, once we have a kind of a vibe for a topic for the song, then the lyrics would come.
I've mentioned it earlier, you've brought your style of music, this rock, rhythm and blues and all this stuff back to the roots, kind of. And just yesterday was the 90th birthday of Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll himself. And you did cover him in 2020 with You're the Devil in Disguise. And I'm just curious, how did someone like him influence you, and what maybe are other influences, but especially, of course, concerning Elvis, I'm curious.
Yeah. Elvis is a huge touchstone for, I mean, just about every artist, whether or not they know it. It's like Elvis and the Beatles. They have had such an indelible fingerprint on the music industry. But within our touring organization, we actually have a lot of obsessive Elvis devotees. So we wind up listening to a lot of Elvis material. And our father, when he was a very young teenager, he actually went to an Elvis Presley concert in Atlanta. And I think it was about 1970. And our dad describes Elvis as having given one of the best live shows that he ever saw, that it made such an impression on our father. And so as a result, like we've naturally been drawn to listen to a lot of the live material. And Elvis was one of the most magnetic stage performers, and the way the chemistry, the band was rocking on stage, the arrangements. So we've pulled a lot of inspiration from Elvis over the years. And I was literally just sitting with a friend a few nights ago, and we were listening. Capitol Records, I believe, just released a huge archive of old, tracks and tapes from the studio where you hear outtakes of Elvis and the band's cutting up, and there's just so much energy and magnetism, and you realize these are just humans being captured in distinct moments of time being brilliant. So Elvis definitely has a huge impact on what we do, in the same way he was drawing from traditions of the blues, early rock and roll, Chuck Berry, all the black blues artists, that he was one of the first white performers to actually give credit where credit was due in referencing the forefathers and foremothers of American music and marrying old style country and gospel and rockabilly and soul into what we now perceive as American rock and roll music. So in that way, we feel that we are walking in the footsteps of all these artists that are sort of straddling a variety of genre lines of the music of the Southern United States.
Wow, what a statement. Yeah, nice to hear that. And of course, we're happy to see, we're happy and looking forward to you playing again in Germany. You're coming. And I'd be curious what you would say, what's the most fun part, or what does the audience enjoy the most? What can the audience look forward to in the Larkin Poe concert this year?
Ooh, a lot of new material. And that still remains to be seen, because we're just at the very beginnings of planning out our new show. And it's going to be a new show because we loved touring Blood Harmony, but always it's fun to get to a new record and be able to work in new tricks of the trade, because we do pay special attention as we're touring and taking note of special moments on the stage, things that really worked. And then we take all of that knowledge and bring it into a new stage show. So we're actually in the process of building out the new show and really looking forward to bringing a lot of bloom into the new show. So, but as always, we love to put on an energetic show so people can expect to be able to set their blues aside, just have a good time.
That sounds really great. And I always love when artists really bring their new stuff out into the world and not only just like one or two songs, but a little bit more. That's always great to hear that you plan on doing that. You've been in Germany before. Can you say something? Is there anything special about the German audience? Do you remember anything?
Oh my gosh. We have been, so the support that we have received in Germany over the years is second to none. I think Germans, they love their rock and roll music. And that is so refreshing. I think especially here in the States, where when you turn on the radio, you're going to hear mostly just pop music, and a lot of the festivals here in the States, I'm not speaking disparagingly, but there's a lot of, popular culture that has infiltrated the festival scene here in the States. But that being said, across Germany, the amount of people who still value the tradition of live music and support the bands that they love. I mean, for goodness sake, like being able to claim a band like Rammstein as like a German band who is like the epitome of like rock and roll, with the pyrotechnics and the badass, like larger than life rock and roll vision. And the amount of festivals that you guys have that are dedicated to just rock and roll, yeah, we feel completely at home in Germany.
Or even metal and stuff like that. So yeah, we're really going for that. I couldn't have said it better. So you're coming, for example, to Munich on the 5th of November into the Tonhalle München. And we're looking forward to that because the Rock Antenna is proudly presenting that concert in particular. That was a really nice talk to you. That was really inspiring, that part. Aww. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And hope to see you in Munich. Please come say hello.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in Hamburg, but I will try to make it happen, yeah?
Oh, we would love that. Yeah, anywhere where we're close.
Yeah,
just try to come out. It'd be awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course, our pleasure.
Whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Subscribe to our channel for more rocking podcasts.